You ain't got to play for it, sis. Okay. Nah, we're good. We're ready for preaching. I ain't even got my notes. That'd be scary. Easy, brother. All right, let's stand together, if you would, please. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. Now, if you're visiting, we're glad to have you, and I don't usually come out without my coat on and without my tie up, but we had a pretty good Sunday school this morning. At least I did, anyway.
Amen.
And so don't get all caught up in the religious trappings of things. We're not real formal around here. We want you to be able to relax, but the main thing is we want to be able to see Jesus. Great thing in this passage right here that it'll describe every one of us sitting here today. In this passage. Notice what he says in verse number 3 and 47:3, and the man had the line in his hand. He went forth eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me into the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And again afterward he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Notice there's less of them in the end than there is in the beginning. Amen. Notice what you'll find here is that there are some people that get a little ways in. There's some people that get in up to their knees. There's some people that get in up to their strength. And there's some people that get all the way in. And every one of us fits that at some point in time in our life. Come to John chapter number 13. Now, I told you in Sunday school this morning, if you're looking for a reason to get out, the devil will make sure you got it. Amen. If you're looking to get out this morning, you might be a little disappointed. You might have to slip out. Amen. Amen. I'm here to tell you today, I got renewed. You know the first passage I hit on Wednesday night? Don't fear their faces. I said, Lord, you seen my congregation? I said, Lord, you know, and he says, you going to tell me you preach different than Stephen preached? I said, oh, he said, well, he got them so upset they came and gnashed on him, chewed his ears off with their teeth. Now, what's your problem? I said, okay, Lord. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Lord. Maybe I'll just preach this message this way so nobody will think I'm aiming at them. He said, yeah, that's real good. He said, that's the thing Christians like to see most is your back so they can find a good place to stick the knife.
Amen.
Anybody relate to that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. World would be great if it wasn't for Christians sometimes. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. It gets better. But, you know, when you give me one of these today, just expect to see a javelin coming at you. John chapter 13, let me just do this. Father, Lord, we sure do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for the liberty this morning. God, I pray now that you might anoint me from on high. God, that you'd fill me up even fuller than I am already. God, that you'd answer the prayers of these people that are here. Father, they've prayed up and they've asked you to do something. They've come here looking for you. And God, I ask for clarity of mind and speech this morning. God, that the spirit of the old-time prophets might rest upon me this morning. God, that you might give me what those old preachers had. An ability, God, to lift you so high that people tremble in your presence. God, an ability to see you so exalted and so pure and so holy that people are literally shaking inside. God, that you might be manifested and preeminent today. God, that we simply might take our place at your feet today. God, that you might, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be our guide, our director, and most of all, our teacher. God, we pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to deal with us individually today. God, we pray that you might speak to our hearts now in this message. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And I got to thinking about this passage, and I realized, ladies and gentlemen, that well, a lot of us are in the church today or like they were at the Last Supper. In John chapter number 13, they're all assembled there and they're getting ready to sit down to eat. And the Lord takes a towel, He girds Himself about, and He gets ready and He starts washing the disciples' feet. And He gets over to Peter, and Peter says, nah, wait a minute, Lord, you ain't washing my feet. You know what the Lord said to Peter? He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to work with me, you're not going to walk with me, you're not going to do nothing for me. What I got ain't coming to you unless you're clean. Amen. You're going to see where I'm going in just a little while. There's a lot of people nowadays that want to do something in the church. They want to be something in the church. They want to have some kind of thing. They think, well, God won't ever use me and God doesn't let me do this. Hey, are your feet clean? Don't worry, we ain't breaking out no bucket because I'm not fit to wash your feet and you ain't fit to wash mine. You're just as dirty as I am this morning, but you need to see Jesus this morning and you need to get your feet washed and you need to get your life straightened out and you need to get cleaned up. That's old time Holy Ghost preaching talking about being clean. You say, why? God ain't going to use dirty hands to deal out His holy bread and He ain't going to use a dirty vessel to pour out water to other people. People don't like drinking out of a dirty vessel. Maybe the reason God's not doing nothing in your life this morning is because you're dirty and you need your feet washed. Amen.
Amen.
Peter says, Lord, wash me all over. He said, no, Peter, you don't need to be washed all over. You don't need to be resaved. But your feet fixing to carry you some places they ain't got no business carrying you. And boy, you need your feet clean before they carry you to the wrong place. See, a lot of times what we wait until we get in the trouble and then ask for the cleaning. What we need to learn to do is get the cleaning and it will prevent us from getting in the trouble.
Amen.
What we need to do is be filled up with Him and then there's less room for them. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, when that devil comes out of that one individual over there in Mark chapter number 7, he flies out of that individual and the guy, when he gets him out of there, he sweeps it up and cleans it up and fixes it all up and he doesn't fill it back up with the right stuff. And when that demon comes, that devil comes back in, you know what he does? He brings 7 others with him. Then all 8 of them take up residence. You say, what are you saying to me, preacher? I'm saying you got to fill it up with the right thing. The reason that we mess up so much and then we have to fess up is because we don't get full to start with. This is before Peter denied Him. And if Peter had understood what the Lord was trying to teach him right here, you know what would have happened? He'd have never denied Him over by the fire. Over there in that passage, you know what a lot of our problem is that we're too worldly today. Right? You ever wonder maybe the reason that God doesn't use you is because you're too worldly and too worldly minded? I know that seems old fashioned nowadays. But you know what? It's the truth. He is called holy and He inhabits you. And if you're not clean, He's not going to use you. Now I realize we're all unclean. Don't default to the generic use of the word clean. I know there's none good, there's none holy, there's none righteous, there's none that seeketh after God. I know all the Catholics in the Bible. Amen. All the nuns. Amen. I know them. They're all there. Nuns in the Bible. You can use that sometime. Maybe it'll go over better for you than it did for me. I understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I also understand that if we had a desire to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, that a lot of the messes we get ourselves into and a lot of the service that we do under our own power would be a lot easier to do and we'd be in a lot less trouble if we spent more time filling up instead of dumping out. I don't believe you lose the Holy Spirit. I think you're sealed to the day of redemption. But I do believe that if you allow certain things to creep in and crawl in, that they can begin to squeeze Him out of the way. How else do you account for continuing in sin? I've learned you can't overpower it with your own discipline unless you chain yourself to a bed and go to sleep, and then you can't stop your mind. Amen. I've realized that the way to overcome the besetting sins is to get more of God. Hey, I need more church. I need more preaching. I need more Bible reading. I need more singing the songs of Zion. I need more fellowship with God's people. Say why? It helps me fill up with the right stuff and keep the wrong stuff at bay. You know what's going to happen though? There's going to be some people who just think because of who they are that they ought to have the right to serve. Like the old preacher told the story about the lady that came down the altar. I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve. And nobody would talk to her and all that kind of stuff. And the old preacher got to thinking. He said, tell you what, I'll give you 3 jobs. She said, okay, fine, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. He said, everybody within 5 blocks of this church, you can win them all to the Lord. Get them all to come to the church. And once you get all that done, pick up the phone and call me and I'll give you a couple more jobs to do. Boy, she got mad as a hornet and went stomping off. You know why? All she did was want to cover up her meanness with her service. She wanted to look like she was doing something. And so that preacher went to the other preacher. He said, preacher, he said, you got this woman that wants to do something in church and she wants to be something. He said, well, preacher, he said, I know it's kind of a bad thing, but she's already busted up 6 homes and she's led a bunch of people astray. And people she led astray, they ain't even coming here no more. And we just didn't feel like she was the right one to be leading our young people. Just because you want to serve don't mean you can serve. And just because you got the ability to serve, you better make sure your feet's clean. You say, well, nobody knows. God knows. You know what bothers me is God knows and it don't bother you. Amen. I can't ride herd on what everybody does. Preacher, you know so-and-so? Preacher, you know, no, I don't want to know so-and-so. I want to know Jesus. I've got enough problems of my own. He said, well, so-and-so, he serves in your church, or he does this, or he does that. Hey, that guy and that woman has got to keep themselves right before God, and if they're not, they ought to resign their position.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I believe that. In John chapter number 13, just get to follow the story if you want to. My first illustration, look in Matthew chapter 15. My first illustration of an ankle-deep Christian would be Judas Iscariot. You say, Judas Iscariot? Say, yeah, he's Judas Iscariot. Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 7 says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy unto you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Judas Iscariot was in the crowd. Now I want you to understand, Judas was a hypocrite, not a traitor. There's a difference. A traitor is an individual who dons the uniform and then goes out and betrays his country. In other words, if he goes through the military and he's wearing the uniform that many of you military guys wear, and then he goes over and he serves China, he goes over and he fights for Vietnam, he goes over and fights for Russia, you would call that guy a traitor. There's a lot of traitors in the body of Christ today. You say, why? Because you're a part of God's body, you've been saved, you're a part of His church, and you still support the places that ruin Christians. Amen. You support the bars and the honky-tonks and the movie houses and all the other places that destroy the lives of Christians. Amen. How am I doing this morning? We're just getting started. I'm telling you, that's an ankle-deep Christian. There's more of him out than there is in. And all he's concerned about is being close enough to the shore that when the water changes a little bit, he can step out and go the way he wants to go and do what he wants to do. You say, well, he was a hypocrite. Yeah, he was the greatest kind of hypocrite that we have in the church today. Because for years he preached, he prayed, he gave, he attended, he did everything that you would expect him to do. He even controlled and took care of the money. And you wouldn't have known anything any more than the disciples did. But the Lord said, that boy's a counterfeit. But the people would have said, he's one of the best ones we got. He's there every time the doors are open. He preaches, he casts out devils, he heals the sick, he does everything the Lord tells him. Yeah, but all of a sudden something rubs him the wrong way, something goes against his grain, all of a sudden his true colors come to bear, then a little bit of pressure gets on him, and all of a sudden he gets blown out and blown off, man. And next thing you know, he's out, he's done, he's finished. Devil created hypocrites. God didn't create hypocrites. You know why? To get you people to look at them, to give them your excuse not to come. You know what makes me sick? If we was walking down the road out here, midnight tonight, and all of a sudden we're walking along and somebody, a star, just turns loose from up there and it shoots across the sky. Woo! Look at that star! You see that star fall? My God, look at that star! Man, did you see it? Man, did you see that star fall? I was going down the road and that star fell right out of the sky. And you know what? Everybody will be talking about the star that fell. They won't talk about the billions that are still hanging up there. And I'm so tired of Christians talking about all the stars that fell. Why don't you look up at some of the ones that ain't fell? Why don't you look up at some that ain't turned loose? Why don't you look at some that are still hanging on by the grace of God, still letting their light so shine as best they possibly can? Why are we so consumed with hypocrites?
Amen.
They're ankle deep anyway. They never intended to get in. It was about them in the first place. They joined the church because it was a good thing to do. I don't even know if some of them is saved, and I ain't trying to retread you. Some people think salvation is joining the church. Some people think being a Bible believer is being around people that believes the Bible. I don't believe that. I think that what we have is a bunch of people that join the church, and you know what they get out of it? Exactly what they put into it. About as much as they are ankle deep. They ain't about to put no more in it. But bless God, they'll want you to come to them whenever there's a problem. Say, why? Because they're the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. How am I doing? Judas Iscariot is there, and he's part of the crowd. And even though the Lord says in John chapter 6, verse number 70, He says to you, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? And He told them, one of them is the devil, and they're at the table, and they're sitting around there, and the Lord got done washing their feet, and they're getting ready to eat the supper, and the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me. And then their hearts just fall. Oh, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And they went around the table and he came to Judas. And Judas says, Lord, is it I? He'd already made the deal. He already knew it was him. But he's playing the game. Lord, is it I? Come on, Judah, say amen right there. You know what the Lord said? That thou doest, do quickly. You know what he said, Judas? You got one more chance here, boy. You can bow your knee right here. Go ahead and confess you're the one. Go ahead and say, Lord, it's me. I have made a plan. I was going to betray you. I was going to walk out on you. But Lord, you're going to have to figure out another way to go to Calvary. I'm not going to deny you. I am not going to give you up to the Pharisees. I'm not going to give you up to the scribes. We ain't going out and getting no spears and getting no staves. We ain't getting no fire. I ain't getting no rope. I ain't going to deny you, Lord.
Amen.
You know what the Lord would have said? Well, glory to God, we're fixing to have revival.
Amen.
So what happened? Judas just stepped out a little further. But not Judas. You see, Judas never intended to get in. He never committed all the way. You know why some people never get any more out of the service than they do? Because they're just in there ankle deep. They're watching all the kiddies play. Oh, don't go out too deep. Oh, don't go too far. Hey, you know what? A thousand. The ones that are way out there is a long way from them ankle deep ones.
Right.
You know what the ankle deep ones are saying? Now don't get hurt out there. Now you're going to drown. Now you need to be careful. He don't care about them people that are out there.
Right.
He cares about him looking bad because he ain't swimming with you. Boy, I'm so sick of that bunch of leeches hanging off of me. It's like having grappling hooks in you and trying to pull you down and trying to pull you back. And man, you're trying your best to swim out there. You want to try to get in deeper. You want to try to go further. You want to try to get out there and do better and get closer to where Jesus is, which by the way, He's swimming. And if you want to know how the Holy Ghost works, you study water and you'll find out this is a prophecy about what God was going to do with it. And you got that power and you got that ability and it's living in you and you don't have to be ankle deep. You can do all things through Christ was strengthening you, but the fact of the matter is, some of you here today are Judas. You're simply in because of any other reason, and you're looking for the first chance to get out. It's unfortunate you're going to take some other people with you. Well, a little while goes on. You say, what do you think it is, preacher? I think it's suicide bombers. They're going to blow up, they're going to blow out, and they're going to blow off. They're sleepers in the body of Christ. They're like sleeping terrorists. They're going along fine. Everybody thinks they're wonderful. Everybody thinks everything's great. They're marvelous. And then all of a sudden the devil activates them. Did you know? Did you hear? Then people's going out a little deeper. They're going a little further. Hey, stop them. Stop them. And everybody goes, oh my God. Look at that. They blew themselves up. Can I just give you a story real quick? Judas Iscariot, after he betrays the Lord, which we'll get to in a little while, he calls him Hail Master because he wanted to let the Lord look like he loved him. Hail Master! Hail me, Master! Hey! It's your friend Judas! How you doing? Come here, buddy. Let me give you a big old kiss. I love you. Buddy, he's out of there, boy. I mean, ankles and elbows running out of that place as hard as he can go after he betrays the Lord. He goes out to a place, takes a rope, throws it around a limb, dangles off, and he begins to shake and convulse, and he begins to tremble. And all of a sudden, he's grabbing at the rope, and maybe I made a mistake. I shouldn't be killing myself. I've always loved myself. I'm gonna die. He convulses and all of a sudden his neck goes and the limb on that tree breaks. The Bible says he hits the ground and he bursts asunder. And not a single person is there to cry over him. That's not the church today. We'd have all been, oh my God, how terrible. He hung himself. You know what you expect? Preacher, he's dangling from the tree. You better go get him, preacher. He hung himself.
Yep.
He had a choice.
Yeah.
You see? See?
Yes, sir.
You see where you just defaulted to? Now, wait a minute, preacher. I don't think... Find it for me in the Bible. Well, now, preacher, you know the Lord, he got 99. He goes after that one. Careful now. You're misquoting it and misusing it. Well, it ain't long before the Lord will wake up a sleeper. When God gets to moving, when He's about to be exalted, when He's about to be glorified, this is what the Lord has come for right here. This is the moment that He's lived His entire life for. And do you think that it is strange that at that moment, whoop, up pops Judas to try to throw the whole thing off the track? Well, they go a little bit further and they get ready, and in John 14 or so, he says, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I weren't so, I'd tell you about it. I'm going to leave you the comforter when I leave. In John number chapter number 15, he talks to them about fruit bearing and abiding in the vine. In John chapter 16, he warns them about things to come. John chapter number 17, he prays for them and says, God, watch over and protect them and keep them until they get up here with me. And John chapter number 18, they said, boys, let's go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And they sing a hymn and they depart and they get ready to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And according to what the Bible says in Mark chapter number 14, the Lord's walking along and He's only got 11 with Him now. And they cross that brook Kidron and they go up into the Mount of Olives over here with all the olive trees. And they step over into the Garden of Gethsemane and they walk just inside that gate. And the Lord turns to 8 of the remaining 11 and He says to them, sit ye here. You say, why? Because He knew that that's all they were going to do was get just inside the gate and sit down. So worldly and so worldly minded, right up next to the fence so that they could reach over the fence and get them a little bit of world every day. So worldly minded that every time they just wanted to kind of catch a glimpse of where they came from, they could look over the fence and the Lord looked down at them and He said, sit you here. Why? He knew they weren't going to go a little further. They could have gone further. They could have said, Lord, we want to go with You. How come Peter, James, and John gets to go? They got to go with You up on the mountaintop. We want to go with You. But you know what they said? Okay. 75% of Christians today sitting by the fence. Worldly minded. You wonder why God's not on you. You wonder why God's not in you. And you wonder why it irritates the snot out of you when somebody gets excited about God. Because you're sitting by the fence. That's why. Because you're looking at the world. That's why. Your eyes are focused on the things of the world on a daily basis. That's why. It's like having a car. You go out in the morning. You're ready to crank it up and it goes. It's like, call them over there, they charge up your battery, crank it up, off you go. The next morning you get up, call Matt over there, he comes over there, he says, preacher, everything's fine with the battery, it's charged. Something ain't right with it, brother. Yesterday I called you, and I was just, it must be a bad battery. He said, preacher, I'm telling you, battery's fine. Problem is, you got a naked wire laying on the frame, and it's draining all the juice out of the battery. So when you get ready to need the battery, there ain't no juice in it.
Come on, brother.
He said, if I can insulate that wire, I'll recharge that battery. That battery will stay charged up.
Glory!
You know what our problem is? Some of you have got some naked wires.
Yes, sir.
You're grounded to the world. You're grounded to the television. You're grounded to the ball game. You're grounded to everything. Listen, if God were to come up today, you couldn't find Jesus with both hands and a flashlight. Oh, listen, you can tell Him about the score of the latest game. You can tell Him about your stock portfolio. You can tell Him about the economy. You can tell Him about school. You can tell Him about every person in the church house. If they're looking for Jesus, they better not come to you because you're too busy looking at everybody else. Grounded to the world. Come to you and say, hey, I need to get saved. Go see the preacher. That's what they pay him for. I don't like Jesus. I don't like Him around. Every time He's around, it costs me something. They're hitchhikers in the body of Christ. Buzzard Baptists. Amen. So what do? They fly around when something stinks or something's dead and lift up that old black wing and cast their vote, and you won't see them again in the house of God until something stinks again. Amen.
Amen.
How am I doing this morning? Y'all done locked down on me. So what are they? They're use a little God in case of emergency. I call them ice. In case of emergency. And such were some of you. You are cold as ice, but you're nice little people. You're good people. And you know what? You want to go along for the ride because it's free. You just hitchhiking. You'll go because it's free. Amen. Got salvation because it's free. Amen. Want to have a little dose of God so that if you die, we got a place you can come down here and set that box with you in it and have the choir sing and somebody do a special and the preacher preside. But until that time, don't mess with me. Don't bother with me. Don't ask me to get stirred up. Don't ask me to get keyed up. Don't ask me to do nothing. You say, why? Hey man, I'm just in here a little way. I never intended to go any further. I'm up to my knees. But I'm still close enough to the shore I can get back if something happens. You know what I've seen in our church? I've seen Christians like that in our church. Some of you. It irritates us too out of you that people get excited about Jesus. We've lost a couple. A few people. I don't know about all that. Shut up, you old buzzard!
Right.
I don't. I just think something's happened to the preacher. What's going on with him? Hey man, the Holy Ghost has got a hold of it instead of the people for a change. Hey, he's done cut loose of the world. All he cares about is Jesus. He knows the only hope for the church is Jesus. He's trying to get your eyes on Jesus. I'm going swimming this morning if I can ever get around to it. You can take off your little water wings. You can take off your little bullet. Get rid of your inner tube. We're going to go swimming, and where we're going, he'll keep you floating if you'll just be willing to trust him. Amen.
Amen.
Say, I don't swim. You will when you get a dose of Him, amen.
Amen.
You'll jump off the high dive. Yeah. Say, what happened, preacher? They're grounded in the world. Yeah. Christian, you, if that's you, should not wait until we're swimming to hit the altar.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost, I think, has probably already stuck you. But you know what? You care more about your reputation than you do about having Him. You wouldn't dare. You said, well, preacher, get everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. If you won't do it in a church, in front of people looking, you ain't about to do it with a head closed and a head bowed and eyes closed. I'm so tired of people apologizing. You know, why'd they go to the altar? Why didn't you go to the altar? Amen. I'll tell you why. Because you don't like the fire at that place. You don't like to burn the stuff up. You don't like to lose your reputation. You don't like to lose what you have. You don't like everything turned to ashes. All you care about is making sure everybody can still see you. Oh, I'm walking knee deep in the water, preacher. Yeah, there's three quarters of you still sticking out. Amen. Last time I checked, there's supposed to be Jesus sticking out. Hey, preacher, you're kind of being rough. You ain't seen rough. You know nothing about rough. And these people, they never pray, they never pay, they're never present. Oh, Christmas time, I forgot. They'll show up. A little Sunday morning service, a little Christmas Eve deal. Easter time, give some chocolate bunnies and some eggs. By the way, if you're visiting here, we don't hide eggs around here. You say, why? That's a pagan holiday. Amen. We use it to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hide eggs. You want to hide eggs, that's fine. But the reason they had the sunrise service is because they went out there and they spent all night in fornication and devilment. And when the sun came up, they all come running naked down the hill, worshiping the sunrise. I'm telling you, if you didn't know that, it's time some preacher told you. Amen. Why don't you hide eggs and bunnies? Because we ain't worshiping the God of fertility. That's why. We use it to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever men may say. I'm so sick and tired of the church being used for every kind of holiday. It's time that it got being turned and used for a holy day. Amen. It's time we get back to what God wants us to get back to. You know what? God knows exactly what we are. Bunch of icicles. We just got a little God in case we die. Don't bother me. Don't call me. Don't come see me. Don't visit me until I get in the hospital. Then, bless God, I want the whole church down there praying for me. You know, this is hard. Sometimes we pray, God, with our kids now, get their attention. God, get their attention. Oh, God, get their attention. And all of a sudden, their fever's running through the roof. Man, they're all busted up playing in a hospital somewhere. We run down there, oh God, take a fever off of them. Oh God, that's hypocritical. Why don't we say, oh God, do what you need to do. God, turn up the heat if you got to do it to get them right with you. God, you do what you need to do. You do all things well. I've been praying for this. I'm glad to see your mighty hand at work. You say you shouldn't pray like that. You ought not live like that. Amen. Come visit me. I'm in the hospital. Why don't you come visit us 4 times a week?
Amen.
Amen. I don't mind coming to pray with you. But you know what? Sometimes I feel a little hypocritical praying for people, for God to do something when I know they're wicked as the cotton-picking devil himself. I know that they're trouble. I know they're a problem. And all of a sudden they want the preacher to show up because it can't be a deacon or something. It's got to be the preacher. Got to be. No, really, brother. It's got to be because you know they're special. I don't want no second man come see me. I want the preacher. You know, like, once I show up, it's kind of like, well, maybe we should have had the second guy. He'd have been a little... But I feel kind of funny. This old time preaching. I feel kind of funny praying for... Sometimes I pray for people and the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing, boy? And I said, well, Lord, I'm, you know, here to pray. He says, boy, you better shut your mouth. Lord, old preacher said one time, he called him and said, preacher, you need to come pray. Daddy's a dying. He said, I ain't doing it. The preacher, oh, Daddy's dying. He said, listen, I'm telling you, I'm not going to come and ask God to spare that man's life, and that man's done the damage he's done. I know that's hard. I understand. The old man died. The old man died. A little later on, same family called and said, preacher, our mama's a dying. You come see her. He said, I'll be right there. He said, what was the difference? That old woman was in church. Sat right over here, he said, on his right-hand side, I'm assuming the front row, the illustration goes. Said that old woman was our amen and our praiser. So she was there every time the doors was opening, and all she'd do is just raise her hand and say, amen, preacher. That's right, preacher. Amen, preacher. That preacher said, I never had to back up from the throne of God at all, man. Said, on the way to the hospital, I stopped, pulled over, got underneath the pew at the church and said, God, that old woman's around and we need her around. She's a spark plug for our church. She gets things going all the time. God, if you take her away, I don't know what we're going to do. And God, I'm asking you, would you please spare her? And he said, the Lord said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. He went to the hospital. They said, preacher, you got to pray. He said, I done prayed. God says it's going to be fine. So, oh, well, you know, preacher, the doctor says you're crazy. The doctor says, and he said, I'm telling you, the doctors don't know more than God does. God says you're going to be fine. About 3 o'clock in the morning, his phone rang. He said, yes, what's the matter? I said, preacher, you got to come get mama. She's up out of the bed. She's running all up and down the hospital room. She's hollering up and down the hall. I mean, she's got her hands up. She's saying, amen, glory to God. Praise the Lord. I said, preacher, we can't get her back in the bed. God's done something great. That preacher said, I never felt bad at all about praying for that dear old saint of God. God, do something for her. But hey, we better be careful about taking our prayers and offering them up for people that are needing their feet washed. Amen. The Lord said, I regard iniquity in my heart, David says, the Lord will not hear me. And sometimes we pray for people for God to do things and God's trying to do something, you just won't get out of the way. Sit you here. In the old days, you had to have these old pumps. And I had one on the farm. I don't know about y'all, but they had that leather... any of y'all remember that? It had a leather valve in them. Remember that? They tried to replace it with rubber, but it didn't work. So they had a leather valve. It was about that big around on a 4-inch pipe. And they run that pipe down in the ground. You might have one on the farm. And what you do is a pitcher pump. And you go out there and you... And then that thing would shut off and then it'd start pouring the water out in the little trough. Well, you know what happens if the leather gets dry? You can pump and pump and pump and pump and pump, and that thing ain't going to catch until you prime it. You say, what do you got to do? You got to put in a little bit of water, and you got to get that leather wet. And when that leather gets wet, it'll suck down on that pipe, and that water will come up a little, and it'll open up a little air, and it'll shut her down, and it'll pump again. It'll open up, it'll come back down. It'll open up, and then it'll grab a hole, and that water will come up and flow. And that Bible says that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The problem is we spend too much time just pumping and pumping and pumping and pumping and pumping. You say, what's the matter? You need to prime your pump before you get to God's house.
Amen. That's good.
Man, we finally get a little water going, thinking, woo, here she goes. Woo! Hallelujah! Boy, gonna be a good one tonight, man. Glory to God! And come in here tonight. Say, what happened? And God dried out in the world in the afternoon. Went out in the world, didn't think, meditate on things of God, got back to business as usual. Come back in the house of God and preach. Need your pump primed. Those Christians that are always sitting by the fence, they always need their pump primed. This is going to sound bad. I ain't resigning. You can fire me, but I ain't resigning. But listen to me. I realized I spent a long time pumping a dry pump. I was like, I'm a stinking failure. Lord said, no, you're just pumping the wrong well, boy. He said, you need the well that'll never run dry.
Amen.
He said, listen, man, if you can get them hooked up to me, I'll keep their whistle wet, boy. I'll keep their shouter a shouting. He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about water, but you ain't going to get your pump pumped or primed and be knee deep. He said, why? Ain't deep enough to get the valve wet. Another class. He said, what do you call this? I call the first one hypocrites. I call the second one hesitators. I call this third group the honorable ones. Say, what was it, the other three that went in? Now, before you get too hard on them, boys, hear me out. The Lord did ask them to come in with Him a little further. You know what He said? Come on in with me and watch and pray. Tarry ye here with me and watch and pray. Say, yeah, well, preacher, bless God, he came back and he caught him sleeping. Yeah, but I thank God for a lot of times when old Mama Utley would be sound asleep in the morning, one of the sure enough disciples of Christ, far enough away from the gate, far enough away from the fence, not to be grounded, not to be corrupted by it, not to be drained by it. And the Holy Ghost said, hey, Mama Utley, get up, pray. That preacher needs you. That church needs you. I need you to pray. That boy is going to fall into temptation. The Spirit willing. That flesh is weak. That old woman get out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, grab that old overcoat, go up yonder on that sawdust rock, get out on that mountain and say, God, I don't know what's going on in that boy's life, but I know You told me to pray. God, I'm here saying, help that boy. Do something for that boy. Help that church. Fill him up. And the Lord say, okay, that's enough. Go back to sleep now. She'll go back to sleep and sure enough, a telephone ring. Hey, boy. Yes, ma'am. You all right? I wasn't, but I am now. So the Lord woke me up about 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, oh, boy, I was struggling. I was having a hard time. Pump was done slam dry. I couldn't find the Lord with a flashlight. Boy, I was just having a hard time struggling. And the Lord said, it's all right. Now you say, why? The honorable ones are willing to get out there up to their strength, up past their waist, cover up a little bit more. Say, well, he caught him sleeping. Yeah, well, you ever had the Lord give you the honor and the privilege and having enough confidence with you to say, watch and pray? I know this makes some of you regurgitate, but there are people that actually pray for me. They take time out of their day to pray for the preacher. I had a fellow walk into my office today. He said, preacher, me and the kids this morning was having breakfast. We prayed for you and prayed for the service. People call me and send me a text. Preacher, I'm praying for you. Preacher, I'm on the mat for you. Preacher, I don't know what's going on, but I'm praying God will do something for you. God will fill you up. Sometimes I just say thanks, and sometimes I'll say, thank God, it's coming down, boy. The spigot's wide open, boy. The pitcher pump's on a free flow. The artesian well's busted loose. God's come down. He's sitting right here. I think it's because God is there, and He hears somebody saying, Lord, that preacher over there, give him some. Lord, that wheelbarrow, dump it on him right over yonder. Lord, back that truck up right there, dump it right there on that boy. If you'll give it to him, he'll put it out, amen. So Lord, give it to him, because I want it when he gets done with it, amen. Lord, if you'll give it to him, I know he'll give it to us. And Lord, ever given you that privilege to say, pray with me? Say, preacher, how come you didn't quit? Some saint praying for me. Some insulated pipes. It can't be grounded out to the world. Can't be froze up by a bunch of God-forsaken Baptists. It's a shame when the Methodists can outshout you. I just don't believe in shouting. Why don't you try getting all the way in?
Amen.
Sir. That old man is right there. You ain't willing to taste it. You want to preserve yourself. If you're going to go swimming with us this morning, you're going to have to be willing to have nothing but your eyeballs poking out. Ain't nobody going to be able to see nothing about you or who you are or what you are. And you know what? You're going to be swimming so deep, they're going to be thinking, what is keeping that feller up?
Yeah.
How is he doing that? What in the world is going on? Well, I'm going to go out and see what he's got.
Amen.
I tell you, it's the Lord that's holding you up.
Amen.
The problem is that you really don't want to see him exalted in the church today. Churches are froze up. This would have gone a lot better on a Sunday night. But there's people here on a Sunday morning that need to hear it because they won't be back on Sunday night.
Amen.
You know what I'm trying to do? I'm not getting on to you. I'm trying to help you. I'm saying the problem is you. It ain't him. And the problem is not this preacher, and it ain't this church, and it ain't the people of this church. The problem is you. If you get in far enough out there, you know what? You won't be worried about what everybody else is doing. All you'll be doing is going, man, what a trip, man. Wow. Woo! Boy, I'm having a time. What are you doing? I'm just bobbing around out here for Jesus, man. I mean, man, glory to God. It sure is good. Every now and then, I catch a little glimpse of Jesus. Every now and then, he just swims by. I say, hey, Jesus, sure is good to see you. I mean, I'm just immersed in the Holy Ghost of God. I mean, I'm filled up to overflowing. I'm just swimming around in it. I'm just enjoying it. I got a peace like I never had. I got a joy that's unspeakable. Man, I got a fire shut up in my bones. I just want to preach and talk about Jesus. What's wrong with you, boy? I'm just bobbing around in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I can't be here any other way than by Jesus. See, every other thing you can take credit for staying above the water. But when you get way out yonder, ain't nobody but Jesus gets credit for keeping you afloat. Go ahead and sit down. That's all you was ever going to do anyway. So, preacher, you're talking about church service. Stop. There's one service around here more than anything else. Say, what is it? Preaching. You know what? Nobody has ever had any pressure put on them to do anything. I'm talking about getting close to Jesus, not getting involved in the church. I'm talking about getting in Jesus. Hey man, jump on in, the water's fine. I'm telling you, boy, it's the right temperature. Say, I'm freezing to death. There's too much of you out of the water. You like that individual sitting there by the hot tub? Man, it's cold. Man, it's cold. Man, I'm freezing. Get in the hot tub. Oh man, it's freezing. Get in the hot tub. Oh, I can't understand. It's too cold for me. I'm going back inside. Hey, stupid. You get out in the hot tub and get out of the elements. You'll warm up. Some of you are cold. You know why? You're ready to get out, not in. You don't want to be immersed this morning. For some of you, I'm going to prophesy, this will be your last service. See why? That's just, it's going to be doctrinal. He's done gone charismatic. Pentecostal something. How come I can't talk about you? You talk about me. Fair for the goose, fair for the gander. You have me for supper, I ought to bless God be able to have you for an appetizer, amen. About all of you there is to eat, amen. Last of all, this is my favorite one. Here comes old Judas down the trail with the devil's crowd now, the Christ haters. The crowd that hates him. Where's Jesus? I don't know. How come you eight don't know? I don't know. We ain't been looking at Jesus. And we've been looking over the fence. Let me tell you about that 8-point I killed. Let me tell you how the crops is growing. Let me tell you the score of the ball game last night. Let me tell you what the quarterback for the Gators is doing. Oh boy, here we go. Pardon me, I just kicked your God. He's a good guy. Fine, great, wonderful, but he ain't better than Jesus. You got to put me some stronger legs on that. Come up there with staves and rope. You know why? They want to kill Jesus. They can't stand Jesus. Judases cannot stand Jesus. You know what they're going to do? Bring some rope, tie him up, threaten him, staves and swords. We'll kill you if you keep on now. They come get him. Hail, Master. Your friend Judas. How you doing? Oh, he took off lickety-split after that. Come looking for the Lord. I hope if somebody comes looking for the Lord, you can tell them how to find him. If you know where he's at. Go see that old preacher. They might have run him off by now. If they were like you. See, there's a lot of ways to run off a preacher. They used to do it up in the mountains. Of course, they didn't know Preacher Lackey had money in the bank because of his businesses that he sold. But what they said was, that old man's going to keep preaching. There was over 700 people in that church when he started. When he started preaching, it went down to less than 100. You know what they did? They quit giving. They quit coming. And then they quit bringing him back then. They brought him chickens and eggs and all that kind of stuff. Tried to starve him out. He laughed. His own testimony was, bless God, by the time I got her purged out, she shot to 500, and within a year we was running 1,500, and the Holy Ghost of God was pouring the oil to her, and all them old naysayers was wanting to get in, and we wouldn't let them in. Glory to God! And he'd go off like that. I'll kill the preacher. I just won't give no more. Okay. But you're not killing the preacher. So, well, preacher, I saw what was in the bulletin last time. My God, we got all that money there. And, you know, yeah, we was on the very bottom, man. Somebody pumped a bunch right at the very end. Thank God for it. But I don't look at that. I feel funny about putting it in the bulletin. Because some of you, that's all you look at. Especially if you're the one that's put the money in there.
Amen.
They record that in there. Make sure they record. Honey, what was it? I don't know if that's in that mountain or not. Brad, I need to talk to you a little bit now, yeah. Is that ours in there? Yeah, brother, here's in there. Every cotton picking penny of it's in there. Watch. They tie up the Lord. All the disciples take off, running. Except John. John says, shoot, man, all them old priests down there, them old Pharisees, they know me. What's the point of running? He run me down. I think I'll just stay with Jesus.
Amen.
You know what Peter does? He goes and he puts his feet by the fire. Oh, you mean they did need washing? Ain't you one of them disciples? Heck no! Little old girl comes, oh yes you are! I know you! I saw you before! You're like, I saw you! I know you! Shut up, girl! I ain't one of his! And cusses and swears and...